You're listening to the Ink and Paint Folk podcast, a look at animation through the women and non-binary folk who make it. I'm your host, Kira Rodriguez. Today we will be having storyboard artist Garnet Garcia for this episode. When the pandemic hit, Garnet was very active in various animation circles, like Rise Up Animation, Red Artist Network, and Lightbox Expo, just to name a few. Her drive and passion eventually led her to a production intern role at Nickelodeon in 2021. In this episode, we will discuss how she honed in on her craft, how she broke in, and how she was able to take care of her mental health while doing so. So grab a beverage of your choice, sketch while you listen if you like, and enjoy!
My name is Garnet Garcia. I am a character designer and storyboard artist. I worked briefly in the animation industry as an intern at Nickelodeon back in 2021. Oh my gosh, it's been 2 years now. That's crazy. Yeah. And what about animation brings me joy? I enjoy animation as a medium that can do something, that can do so many things that live action cannot. And I think that when animation like taps into that, I think it really brings out the best of what the medium has to offer.
It's fantastic. I'm so happy to hear all of these answers. It's ringing like so many church bells. I don't know. Good vibes, good vibes. So with all of that, right? I would love to know a brief sketch of like your childhood, what like pushed you, like what was the turning point for you to like jump into animation and like have all these like lovely impressions of this medium. Sorry, I'm blanking. What is it that's like pushing you forward right now, and what like are your plans?
I, like a lot of people in the industry, you know, a lot of people grew up as the art kid that always loved doodling, getting in trouble drawing in class. Like that was definitely me. I grew up, so my parents were actually like, I had like really strict parents growing up. And so they like super monitored like what I would watch on TV. And my parents were the type of parents that like did not let me watch like PG-13 stuff until I turned 13. Like they were super strict about everything. So because of that, I grew up a lot on animated movies, you know, like DVDs and VHS, you know, anything that my parents brought or anything that we saw in the theaters. And I was like, hey, I like that. And then they would buy it. And then boom, that would be like the movie at home. So yeah, like most of my childhood was just surrounded by that kind of stuff. And then, you know, I got a little older and then it'd be like Disney Channel and Nickelodeon and, you know, stuff like that. But it was very animation centered for the most part, because a lot of that stuff was geared towards kids. And my parents felt a lot safer with that. My decision to take art seriously and be like, oh, I want to make a career out of this actually didn't happen until I was in college. I went to, you know, I continued to doodle and I love, and when I was in middle school, I got really into anime and then that was my thing. And I loved anime in high school. So those were also really big inspiration points for me. And I went to a very STEM focused high school. So, you know, like science, math, all that good jazz, but I liked art. I still liked art. And the field that I was encouraged to go into was architecture, because it was like the most artsy STEM thing you can like techie STEM, like math thing you can do. And I was good at it. I took like two architecture classes while I was in school and they're like, you're really good at this. And I was like, yeah, thanks. And they're like, you should make a career out of this. I was like, sure. all right, I guess. And I got into like a really, really good school. So I wasn't bad at it. I was really good at it, but I think in my second semester, it was my first year, my freshman year, second semester, I was very aware of how miserable I was.
Oh,
I was
no.
just not, I was not, I did not enjoy it. I was very aware of the fact that a lot of the people that I was in the major with, like, had very clear plans for what they wanted. You know, they had a vision. They digested architecture, like, even in their spare time. Whereas me, like, that year, what was it, like, 2016, 2017, I, like, got on Discord for the first time because a friend of mine that was really into an animated show was like, hey, I'm making a server, want to join? I'm like, I don't even know what that is. Sure. And then I jumped in, and that's what I would do in my spare time. I would watch shows. We would talk about, like, movies and all these different, and, you know, like, Tumblr artists and Instagram artists and whatnot. And I think that it was actually when, oh, I don't remember what month it was. It must have been like March or April or something, that of that second semester, that we had a night off where we didn't have homework, which
Nice.
was like a miracle for architecture students. And everybody was like, hey, yo, I'm gonna go sleep. And we were like, I know, right? It's gonna be great. And I was like, oh yeah, okay, like, I got no homework tonight. I'm gonna, you know, I'm gonna have fun, I'm gonna relax. And I ended up drawing fan art.
The best use of time.
And I was like, wow, this is so good. It was fine, it was decent, but I was so impressed and proud of myself, you know. And I was like, oh man, like, I am working a lot in like Adobe and I have access to that now. Let me try to color it in Photoshop. And I never colored anything in Photoshop before. To make a really long story short, I stayed awake all night to haphazardly color this piece of fan art that I had spontaneously done on one of my very few nights off that I had gotten in that semester instead of sleeping like everybody else. But, you know, when I got to the end of the night and I realized the sun was rising and I came upon like my finished product, I was actually like, I think this is what I like to do. Like, I had told myself when I graduated high school that like I would do architecture, I would do whatever I needed to do, and I would keep art as a hobby. But I think in that moment, it was very clear that art was a lot more than just a hobby for me. I was a lot more passionate about it than just like it just being a hobby. And so, you know, the end of the semester rolls around and we're clearing out our desk and I'm clearing out my room and I'm telling my friend, you know, my friends are like, oh, I'll see you next semester. And I'm like, yeah, I'll see you next semester and whatnot. And then like a month later in the middle of summer, I was like, you know what? No, I'm not going back. And I just did not go back to the school or the major. I just quit. I was like, yeah, I'm done, actually. I'm not going back. Oh my gosh, it was like a week before the next semester, like the next year usually starts for college students. I was still not enrolled in a school. And
oh
at the
gosh.
Last second, I got in and I ended up going to, that's where I ended up graduating from. It was like some communication design school that actually happened to offer a bachelor's of fine arts. And I was like, bet. I mean, I got into like another like super fancy art school, but they were like, give us $51,000 a year. And I was like, no, don't want to do that. That's a lot of money.
It is a lot of
That's
money.
A lot of money.
It is a lot of money.
That is a lot of money. And it's not like I'm going to be like a dollar. Like, you think I'm going to be rich as an artist? Like, you think I'm going to be able to pay back that debt? Like, you're crazy, man. I'm not rolling in dough when I get out of here. You're insane. So yeah, no, I didn't go to the big fancy art school. You know, no shade to the big fancy art school. I was just being pragmatic. I'm like, I'm the eldest of three kids. I'm not doing that to my parents or to me. So I ended up going to that school. And I mean, I'm really glad that I did, though, because I think what I realized was that I was definitely starting from scratch. I had never taken a formal art class before I got to that college. I was very much self-taught. And I was good enough that, you know, I could get into multiple schools. But when I got there and they were like, oh, we're going to use Photoshop and Illustrator and learn things like vector and raster. And I took like a figure drawing class for the first time and a color theory class. And I was like, oh my gosh, like there's actually like a logic to this. Like, this is crazy. I took that figure drawing class and I got to like the end of the semester and I looked at my work like before and after and I was like, how dare any of you tell me that I knew how to draw? Because this is trash, all right? Look at how bent up this arm is. This makes no sense. So it was a great experience to do that. And I'm glad I did go to the school because it allowed me to learn the technicals in a way that I had never been exposed to before. So yeah, that's definitely wasn't brief, but that's the kind of the story, I guess, of how I ended up wanting to pursue animation as something more than just a hobby.
Amazing story. Two questions before we move on. One, what was the fan art? Like, what was the character? What was the show?
Oh man, I was really hoping I could get away with not voicing. Oh man. All right. Yeah. Here we go. It was I'm so embarrassed. Very, very like, very like Tumblr-esque, like especially like that time. Okay. Time. It was Voltron fan art.
Oh my god.
It was specifically like Galra Keith Voltron fan art. I was like, so into Voltron at the time. This was like before everything went down though. This was definitely like.
No, yeah, cool. I remember that time because I was on Tumblr. I was on Tumblr at that time
on
too.
On fire. You know, and then, you know, so I was vibing. It was chill. But yeah, no, that was really into Voltron.
Very, very good choice of fan art.
Good choice. Yeah, no, it gave him like little fluffy ears. It was really cute.
Oh my god, that's the best. That's the best part.
Little purple and whatnot.
Okay, second question. What was your favorite and least favorite class when you first started school?
In architecture or my art
school? In art, for animation.
Hmm.
Moving from architecture to there.
I think my most favorite, like in my first semester, my most favorite class was probably the figure drawing one. Because that just exposed me, like it felt like the art classes that I had, like, I don't know, like seen on TV or like, you know, heard about, where you like draw naked people and work in charcoal, you know. It was like I had never done that before. And yes, I did, you know, draw nude figures and whatnot, and it was like, I was like, whoa, okay. But then like I got used to it. And I worked with mediums I had never worked with before, with pastels, with charcoal, with different kinds of like, I don't even remember, but it was like different kinds of like our teacher would send us to the store and it's like, you got to get like X, Y, and Z material. And I'm like, what is that? And I'm going there like to the person at the store, like, I need to look for this thing. And they're like, oh yeah, I know what that is. And I'm like, I'm glad you do, because I don't. And then I would pick it up and be like, oh, all right. And then she would just teach us how to use it. And I learned a lot. It's definitely just one of those basics, you know, learning the basics of human anatomy, lighting, shading, drawing portraits, drawing skeletons. Like, it was, but it was fun. I really enjoyed it. I really enjoyed both the technical aspect of it and even just the experience as a whole. And if we were to go, I don't really remember every single class that I took my first year, but I remember not liking anything in relation to Illustrator, like Adobe Illustrator. I've never liked Illustrator. And I remember that in my first semester, we had a class where we were learning both, and we were like learning like what was best to do in Photoshop, what was best to do in Illustrator, the pros and cons of both and whatnot. And then the next semester, we had a class that would allow us to choose which one we wanted to use. And I just used Photoshop the entire time. I'm like, I'm not touching Illustrator. I don't care what I learned last semester. I'm not going to use it. I don't think I touched Illustrator more than like two times in the entire time that I was in that school.
Understandable.
So yeah, I don't remember every single class. Maybe there was one that I enjoyed less. I don't know. Maybe it was I liked math. I did take a math class that year, but I enjoyed math. So yeah, I'm gonna go with
that's interesting.
Illustrator related. that was my least favorite thing.
Okay. That sounds like a very, very colorful part of your school days. Okay, speaking of school, did you make any like college films? And like, if you did, do you want to talk about the process and like learning how to work as a team, if you worked as a team, or like if you did it individually, maybe you could talk about how you did it individually as well.
I actually didn't make my school was not the traditional like setup for, like when you think of like schools like, I don't know, like CalArts or SCAD or they a lot of students will do films. They'll have student films. They'll have like, I don't know, like just films that they do at the end of the year, or especially at the end of their at their last year. I didn't do that. And that was mostly due to the fact that my school traditionally was like a long time ago. I'm talking about like in the 90s or like the 80s or something. I don't remember when the school was founded, but back then it was actually a school for graphic design and advertising. So it was a completely different like school makeup curriculum or whatever. But as the years went on, they started adding different kinds of art to it. So my first 2 years actually had nothing to do with illustration and animation at all. I learned a little bit of everything. I learned a little bit of graphic design, I learned a little bit of advertising, I learned web design, illustration, animation,
Wow.
and like one other thing. Yeah, but I took like maybe like two or three advertising classes. Like
Wow.
I didn't like them, but I know how to do them. Because there is a lot of overlap in those concepts. And students were definitely encouraged to lean on the things that they were good at. So if you were good at things like, I don't know, like illustration or graphic design, and you wanted to bring that into like what you were advertising, you were encouraged to do so. If when we took a web design class, they were like, hey, if you're an illustrator or an animation like focused student, your final project will be like coding a website for your portfolio. I don't know. Like they found a way to integrate it, but I didn't get to do anything that only in your last 2 years are you able to choose a specific track, and then you can take classes specifically made for whatever it is you wanted to do. So I took a mixture of illustration classes and animation classes. I took a storyboarding class, I took a character design class, I took a comics class. That was really fun. I took an advanced illustration class, which was also really, really fun. And yeah, so I mean, the closest thing that I would have to like making a quote unquote film was like the final project that I had for my storyboarding class, which was fun, but it wasn't a film,
Yeah, no,
it was just
I mean we
it,
can definitely talk about that. Like, it's definitely like things that you must have learned along the way
yeah,
for
no,
that. Yeah.
I learned a lot in that story, and that storyboarding class was definitely like that was a big turning point for me when I realized that I wanted to do storyboarding at all. Because at first I thought I just wanted to do illustration, and then I took an illustration class, and I was like, huh. Yes, but no. I was like, there are things about this illustration class that I do like, but it's not what I thought it was going to be. And then I was like, well, then I don't know, like what is? And I think I found that in the next few semesters when I took that storyboarding class, and in the first few classes when we were breaking down, like Pixar movies, like Brad Bird's The Incredibles, and like different kinds of like weird indie movies, and think talking about like shots and character acting. I was like, oh, this is what I want to do. I didn't realize there was a different name for it, but I did. I did want to do this. So that brought me into like a new world, and I was doing storyboards for the first time, and it was really cool. It was cool to have like words to talk about things that like I knew in my head, like camera angles and shots and stuff like that, but like I didn't know that there were words for that, or like the 180 rule. I was like, oh yeah, like I have noticed that they are always on the same side. I didn't know there was a like words for that. So that was really, really cool. And then continuing like the semester, or was it the semester after that, or was it like 2 semesters later, I took a comics class. And then I realized that I was very, very into like character expressions. Like that was something that I very much liked to do. And so the next semester I took a character design class, and I was fairly sure that I was gonna like character design. And then I took that class and I was like, yeah, I like character design. So that was like that was easy. I knew that one was gonna be That one was going to be an easy one. For my final project, when I was a senior back in the spring of 2022, so that was last year, I worked my final project. So that was 1 year after I had done the Nickelodeon animation internship, and my final project was to kind of delve into what it would be like to do the animation pipeline from start to finish and create like a concept. Well, not start to finish, but like start to storyboarding, you know? Because I wasn't gonna animate anything. I'm not an animator. I don't like anime. I joke and I say like I storyboard because I don't have the patience for animating, you know?
Half truth,
I don't.
half joke.
Yeah, just it's not gonna happen. Yeah, so that like that it was really awesome to be able to explore that. And especially because again, like my school didn't have like those roots in animation and didn't have, I mean, it was also like in New York City, you know, it wasn't in LA. So a lot of what my school was better at or had more knowledge of was more actually along the lines of like the publishing like side of things, like again, like comics and covers, you know, illustrative covers and stuff. It was very, very good at that. So being able to take what I knew from Nickelodeon and kind of bring it to my school and show them like how everything works, like in detail, it was actually like really informative, and a lot of people were very interested, and a lot of the teachers were very interested. I'm like, oh, like I didn't realize like there was such a big difference. And that it was really cool to do that. I did not get to explain. I learned that I bit off a lot. And I was like, yeah, okay, so there's a reason why the pipeline is done through so many people all together at once, and not just one person doing everything. I did my character designs. I went from concept to turnaround. I was very proud of that. I wrote the script, but I ran out of time and I was not able to do the storyboard for my final project. And because the concept was more like I was exploring the pipeline as opposed to like I'm going to accomplish everything in the pipeline, you know, I was allowed to get away with it, but it was it I ended up kind of just focusing on the character design unintentionally for my final project. But I learned a lot. I learned a lot about what I like to do. I learned a lot about what kind of like I realized that both when it came to like character design or storyboard, you know, either one thing that was a common thread in all my classes was that I really liked drawing people. I really liked drawing expressions. And that like it was just cool to see to be able to do all of those things together. And see what I lean like I leaned on, I lent on. I that's not English.
Please lean
What I was leaning
on
on.
the, yeah, leaning towards, leaning towards.
what I was leaning on, you know, as I continued through the years and kind of looking back, hindsight is 2020, I was like, huh, yeah, that was kind of like always there for me.
That's amazing. I mean, like, you did even mention about the Nickelodeon internship, and like, we would love to hear about that. Like, what was your day to day for that, and like, was there like a main takeaway that you took from the internship? Like, how long was it? What was the rough breakdown for you?
I started January of 2021 and my internship lasted until August. I worked on two different productions. I worked on a CGI preschool show with the New York office for about 4 to 5 months, and then I worked with a I worked with the Casa Grandes production. The first one was called Blaze and the Monster Machines, and then the second one was the Casa Grandes, which was a 2D animated show based in Los Angeles. And so the day-to-day depended on which team I was working with. The days definitely shifted because every production is its own little system, you know, it's its own family, it's got its own rules. Obviously there are things that are the same no matter what, you know, like storyboard pitch meetings or something like that. But even the fact that I, even the fact that it was a CGI show versus a 2D show did change some things and change some of my responsibilities and change some of the meetings that I went to. And, but a lot of it was, a lot of it was very, like when I was working on Blaze and the Monster Machines, I did a lot of asset reviews. I did a lot. I took a lot of notes at meetings. There were a lot of meetings between the production team and the animation team, which we were, you know, outsourcing and whatnot. So whenever we went over assets, whenever, you know, there were times where we broke down the script and there were just conversations that needed to be had. And so a lot of the time, like after, I don't know, like a month and a half, my production coordinators would be like, hey, can you take notes for this meeting? And they taught me how to do everything. There was a lot of training that was really awesome, especially the first few months. It was, they were very, very good with teaching me everything that I needed to know. Oof. And then, yeah. And then sometimes I would even get to, I went to like, I forget exactly what the meetings are called, but they were like, they would go over the voice clips that the voice actors would do, and they would like edit them together to do the episode, you know, and whatever. Oh. That was like what the animators were going to be working off as, I think. I don't know. I remember the process. I don't know. I probably like wrote it down somewhere. But you know, it was awesome. I really got to see like a lot of different parts of the pipeline. And that is something that Nickelodeon definitely emphasizes in their internship. Mm-hmm. They want their interns to get a full rounded experience and be very, very familiar with the pipeline, because they understand that their interns are going to probably want to do different things in the future. You know, some are going to want to do more artistic related stuff. Some are going to want to be writers. Some are going to want to be, you know, work in production. And Nickelodeon also encourages both their interns and the people who work there to feel free to like jump around depending on what they want to do. So they're very great at teaching that, encouraging people to delve into that. A lot of my days was actually scheduling informationals with people who worked there and just asking them about their job. Just, you know, being like, hey, how'd you get here? What do you do? What do you like about your job? Like, what does it mean to be a production assistant? What does it mean to be in a production coordinator? What does it mean to be a storyboard director? What does it mean to be a writer?
That's fun.
And it was really informational. It was really awesome. I think when I got to the Casa Grandes, I started to do a lot more like technical organization. I started to organize assets to give to storyboarders so they would have reference for certain mm-hmm. things. I would sit in meetings and take notes about what like boards needed to be revised or what was being changed so that I could give it to like the next person. It was a lot more, the notes that I was taking was they were not just for like my production coordinators anymore. They were things that I was actually going to distribute to different members of the team, mm-hmm. which is really cool. So it was like, you know, it was a similar skill, but I was flexing it in a very different way. And of course, because it was a totally different production, they also had a different way of how they organized all their stuff. Yeah. So there were some things that I had to like relearn or be like, oh, like I used Excel a lot more than I ever wanted to in the internship, because they just used it a lot on Casa. And, you know, not that it works for what they needed to do, but I was also like, dang, not dang. Excel. I hate Excel. It's the worst. But yeah, no, I mean, I did what it did. It wasn't really that bad.
It mustn't be the steep learning curve when you first started.
Yeah, no, I mean, it was, I mean, obviously, you know, I don't know. I feel like I've worked with Excel before. It's just not something that I did on my day to day. Like, I don't know. If I had worked in a job in which I used Excel very often, I think it would have been a breeze. So there definitely was like a learning curve, but they also weren't doing anything like super complicated. I think it was just a matter of the people who were more familiar with Excel could probably input things a little quicker than I could. So yeah,
I see.
But the learning curve, actually, there was a bit of a learning curve in terms of figuring out how to Because I did not work with distributing the assets when I was working on the first show with Blaze and the Monster Machines. I just knew about the assets and took notes about like, oh, someone's going to figure that out, or like someone's making this note to change the color on blah, blah, blah. Whereas I actually had to go into the system and be like, okay, this storyboard artist needs this prop, this character, this A, B, and C, and I got to file it. I got to find it, and then I got to organize it in a new file in a specific way in their system using whatever labeling system they've been using since forever. So that actually was what I felt like was a little bit of a bigger learning curve for me. But again, they were very open to answering like all of my questions. And, you know, this was also like in the pandemic, or, well, I mean, it was at the tail end of, you know, the bad, bad part of the pandemic, but it was still like the internship was completely virtual. So,
I see.
It would like teach me, and I would like record it, and so I could look back at it later and be like, "What did they say? What did they say?" And then I'd be like, "Oh, okay, I gotta go there." So you know, we made it work.
Well, that's great. Honestly, what was the biggest takeaway for you from this internship?
The biggest takeaway from this internship, I think, for me, especially because I did the internship while I was still in school. I did it my second to last year and then into the summer. So I did not do it my senior year, but I mean I was definitely still in school doing everything I needed to do. So but the biggest takeaway for me was really just how different school and the industry really were in every way, shape, or form, but especially in terms of like, you know, they're working on a team, especially a production team. It is like everyone is working towards the same goal. Like we are all helping each other out, where everybody's got to keep everybody informed. The more you communicate, the better. But it's also a lot more lenient than what I felt I had experienced in school. You know, it was like the equivalent of like when you're in high school and teachers are like, this isn't going to fly in college. And then you get to college and people are literally doing whatever the heck they want. it's like, yeah, this is a lot more is flying in college than in high school. It was like that, like, again, you know, in college, they'd be like, oh, you know, it's just going to get worse when you like step into a job. And then I got to the job and they were like, it's not that deep. Like, it's relax. And I was like, oh, okay. So, you know, I think the biggest takeaway was just how different it was. I worked on a team with people that I could genuinely be like, hey, I'm not going to be able to finish this by whatever deadline you've given me. What do I do? And they'd be like, oh, I'll handle it. And I'm just like, oh, okay. Or it's like, can I get like an extra day to finish this? And they'd be like, yeah. And I'd be like, oh, okay. And I would see like, you know, other people on the team do that too. And it was the most casual thing ever. Whereas like, I would have to like beg my teachers to give me an extension. you know, it's, or like, and also it's like, another thing was just like how much more graceful it is, like in industries or in the professional world, if you make a mistake. I feel like, especially when, you know, us, I mean, when do we get thrown into school? Like 3, 4, 5 years old, we get very much conditioned to think like mistake is bad. Mistake means that we're going to get in trouble. We're going to lose something. We're going to get a consequence. You know, it's a very negative association. You don't like get paid less that week if you make a mistake. You know, if you make a mistake, you just get corrected and you keep moving. And I remember I was so terrified of making mistakes, especially when I got to the second production with the Casa Grandes, because I don't know, it was like they were a lot more fast paced. You know, it was every show is different. So, you know, my Blaze and the Monster Machines is a show that had been out since like 2014. Like, we're talking about people who had known each other for like almost a decade. They've been working together for almost a decade. They were a very well-oiled machine, but it also, compared to Casa, it almost felt like, I don't know, like chill and a little more laid back. I got to Casa and they were like, work, hustle. Not in like a bad way, but everyone was like, everybody was in it and everybody was on it. And because I was afraid, like I was afraid that I wasn't going to be able to keep up with how fast that they were going, because I just kind of got dropped in there. I was very terrified of messing up. And I had a production coordinator named Zamir, who was amazing and was one of my favorite people to work with, who actually like sat me down and was like, hey, you need to chill. It's not that deep. Like, it's really not. Like, if you mess, it's not the end of the world. And something that he did was that he actually listed, because he does not, you know, he did not come from an animation background. He did not go to school for animation. He was like working in like, I don't know, I think like accountant or something, something like numbers based. Whoa. And this was his first job as a production coordinator. And he sent me a message over Slack of like, I don't know, maybe like 7 to 10 bullet points of all the mistakes that he made, like in his first month of starting the job. And some of them were like, you know, whatever, but some of those were like, oh, that's a mistake, you know. Like that's a mistake. But the idea was like, you know, he made all those mistakes and he still has his job and he's still vibing and he's still a good worker and it's still all that, you know. So I, the biggest takeaway was just like to learn to rely on my team a lot, because you know, I'm like, there are schools, you know, and especially when you do art, like there is an encouragement to collaborate to an extent, I think. But I think like the level of collaboration that exists when you're actually in the field, it's like, I don't know, schools wouldn't call that collaboration. They'd call that cheating, you know? So it's like, it's not exactly the same. So being able to work in that environment and really, really be part of a team, really, really all work together towards one definitive goal. And you're just kind of like, oh, that was another thing that I loved. And I thought was great. You know, like working like in the real world, you clock in and you clock out and you do not have to touch your work until the next day. You know, you don't get that kind of separation from school. School is like, you know, you go to school and then you go home and you're still thinking about school in some way, shape, or form, like whether homework or whatever. But that like, that was just great. And it was very different. And I enjoyed all of it. I feel like it really exposed me to what work was going to be like as an actual adult, as an actual professional, not just a student. And that experience, especially in a studio like Nickelodeon, was awesome. I'm really glad I got that experience before I graduated, because I mean, I'm not working in a studio right now. But you know, like I definitely feel a lot more knowledgeable about what that world looks like. So, you know, if I do have to sit in an interview or if I, you know, do try to apply for a job, I'm kind of like, yeah, I do know how to operate like a professional and not just a student.
Yeah, experience that definitely triumphs over the education and everything as well, because you get to learn on the field and exactly like what you mentioned. Okay, so we're gonna move on from being like a production assistant at Nickelodeon to something a little bit more personal to like, let's say, the both of us, right? So let's talk about mental health. How important do you think maintaining a good mental well-being is, especially with this day and age of social media? What are your thoughts for this?
I mean, obviously, I'm gonna say that mental health is important for literally anybody, not just artists. I think that, you know, mental health is just important. You know, we all have brains, we all have that going on, we all have emotions, and it's important to try to be as healthy as possible. I do think that artists, it's you know, I think that there's so much of our craft, and you know, art is very subjective, so I can't speak for all artists, but I am going to speak from the perspective of someone who, you know, is a really big feeler, is someone who, I mean, I consider myself to be very passionate about everything that I do. When I do my artwork, it really is an extension of myself and what I'm feeling, and I do think that lots of artists are going to relate to that. I don't think that's a foreign idea or a foreign concept. But I think that because it's a profession and it's a passion or a hobby, whatever you want to call it, that is so tied to that part of us, it's important to maintain that part of us like in a healthy way. You know, it's like a garden. We eat from this garden. We're plucking fruits from this garden. If you're not maintaining that garden, you're going to pick up a fruit and it's going to look kind of janky and you're going to be like, what happened?
Yeah.
And you know, it's also so important because of things like burnout. You know, like,
yes.
burnout is so real, whether you're on social media or not. And I think a lot of, especially a lot of the, this was a big piece of advice that I got from people who had been in the animation industry for a while, when a lot of people would ask, like, you know, how do you avoid burnout? How do you deal with burnout and stuff? And a lot of the advice that I saw, like, over and over again, were, you know, older people saying, like, you know, you have to live your life. You mm-hmm. have to be in touch with yourself. You know, go and experience things. Like, make sure that you're keeping in touch with the things that make you happy, that give you life, that bring you joy. You know, experience new things, tap into new hobbies. You still have to live life as an artist. And I think especially when you're being an artist on social media, which at this point is, you know, kind of unavoidable, I think.
Yep.
Having a social media presence is how you kind of get your work out, especially if you want to work in the industry. So, like, being able to be aware of yourself and not completely be, like, you know, attached to a screen. And I don't just mean, like, looking at a screen, even like thinking about a screen. You know, like, when you're doing art, you know, if you're recording every second, whether, you know, you're recording the screen or you're recording yourself, and it's something that's, like, consistently documented, you know, just be aware of how much of that is for the internet or, you know, the audience that you have, and how much of it is for yourself. And I think that balance is going to be different for everyone, but it's still very important. I think that I experienced a tremendous level of burnout, especially after I graduated. And, you know, looking back, this is something that I realized more recently, but looking back, it's like I spent so many years doing art for assignments, doing art for prompts, doing art for the sake of deadlines, doing art for the sake of portfolios. And those are great and awesome things. But, you know, here we are at the beginning of 2023, and I had to take a step back and realize that the last time that I had really done art for myself just because I wanted to, with no sense of attachment, no, I'm not learning something, I'm not doing it for a commission, I'm not doing it to, you know, show how good I am at doing art, was like 2018, 2019, just a really long time. It's a long time. But that's why, you know, it's like, I think it's really important to be aware of that, to be aware of where you are mentally. And I don't think that any job, any studio, any project is worth sacrificing, like, your mental and emotional well-being. So taking time to really, like, pay attention to your life, the things that are going on in your life and how they're affecting you, I think is insanely crucial to build a sustainable career as an artist, you know, because you can draw art anytime. But I also think that people who, especially young artists, we want to keep doing art for as long as possible and as consistently as possible because we like doing it, you know. But
yeah,
you got to make sure that you're maintaining it so it can actually, you know, keep going in the long term and not, you know, draw for a little while and then be completely burnt out and wonder, like, why you, like, art is hard or blah, 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 blah. And I mean, I don't know, everybody has a different journey with art. So I'm sure that, like, you know, not everybody experiences that, but I do know a fair share of people, even just, like, you know, friends and people that I've talked to, that they are slowly learning that, like, oh, there's a level of care that needs to be had if this is going to be a long-term thing for me. And a lot of that comes with paying attention to myself, my needs, my health, my limits. That's a big thing, you know, like being realistic about how much art can you do, you know? Mm.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, it's really like running a marathon. You're in it for the long term. You're not in it for the short sprint. If you start sprinting during a marathon.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, and you can sprint if you want, but it's just, it's not the same, you know, the energy, the power, the consistency, it's not the same as running a marathon. And for artists that really want to make art a marathon thing, you gotta think in a way that can actually, you can keep up for a long time. And be kind to yourself, you know, be kind to yourself, and, you know that I really think that taking, like, I don't know, like, a day, a week, a month where you kind of like don't look at social media, it's really great. It's really great and just recommend it to everybody. Like I'm not that old, but I'm also like kind of like, oh, I remember the days before social media and whatnot. We didn't look at screens all day or something obnoxious like that.
The very
But
nice
no, it's
balance between like the
it's
90s kids.
a nice balance, you know, but yeah,
Yeah.
you really gotta have a balance.
Yeah.
I mean, hey, I'm guilty of that. I'm guilty of doom scrolling on Instagram for long hours of my day, and then I wonder why I feel like crap at the end of the day, and why I look at my art and I'm just like, oh my gosh, it's terrible. But it's because I'm consuming like top tier art that has been made over the course of like 14, 26, like 47 hours, you know, that has like hundreds of thousands of like, and that's like all I'm looking at. So of course I look at my art and I'm just like, bruh. Like, but you know, everything is a balance. Everything is a balance, but it's important to just be aware. I think that's the most important part.
Yeah, I mean, that actually brings us into our next question. Like, how do you maintain like balance, and how do you self-care when you're doing like this like whole like process of art? Because as we mentioned, it can be quite strenuous, and it can be quite debilitating, especially with long hours on social media as well. So how do you maintain balance and keep like your peace of mind?
I think for me, what I've been doing recently, which has been helping, is objectively like blocking out time for me to do that art that is really just art for the sake of being art. It doesn't have to make sense, it doesn't have to be good, it doesn't have to be anything. I just draw because I want to. Because you know, there's a lot of like, I don't know, there's a lot of like rules in the animation industry, whether you're thinking about the rules of like, you know, being on a production and having to draw in a specific style for a specific show to a specific script that you did not write. Or if we're talking about like the do's and don'ts of portfolio. I don't know. Like, there's a lot of rules, and those rules are great, and they have their purpose and their time and their space, and they're there for a reason, because animation is a business at the end of the day. But really blocking out that time to just draw anime characters and not even finish, like I'm not perfectly lining it or anything. I'm splashing on random colors. I'm drawing two characters in a scene together, and I'm just like, why am I putting these characters together? I don't know, because I want to. It's very freeing, and allows me to tap into art in a way that's kind of like, it's fun, and it's important to make it fun. So I also just make sure that I'm also doing other things, like not in front of a screen all day, you know, like
Yes.
riding my bike or hanging out with my friends, or I actually work part-time at an axe and knife throwing place, which is like really cool.
Oh.
Totally not art related at
Touching
all.
grass, touching grass. Very good. Very good.
Yeah, or you know, just I mean, or even just, you know, consuming the genre that I like. Like I realized recently, I was so, I mean, this is also because I was moving, so I was really busy. But I was just like, my friend asked me, like, so what like anime are you watching? And I was just like, oh my gosh, when was the last time I watched an anime? When was the last time I watched a show? You know? I was like, dang, it's been months. And I don't know, just and then, you know, like, so I wasn't watching, like, now I'm like, I'm not really watching the season of like the most popular ones. Like I didn't watch like My Hero Academia like season six or like Mob Psycho. I mean, I will watch Mob Psycho, but I didn't.
One day, one day.
I watched like I was like, I want to watch the niche slice of life ones because they look cool and I don't have to use my brain to watch it. They're just nice and bring me comfort. So, you know, just do things that you enjoy. I just do things that I enjoy. But may I try to be very conscious about that. And then, you know, the last thing, which is the thing that's, it's not fun about mental health, but it is important, is just taking care of myself, you know. It's basic things is like, you know, taking a shower every day to like having routines and doing laundry or like making sure that I'm eating enough calories a day. Like all that is important to being a basic human being. And it's like, I'm trying not to do that thing where I sit in front of a screen for like 8 hours without moving. And then I get up and I'm like, why do I feel terrible? And it's because I haven't drank water in like all day. It's like, oh yeah, that's why.
Yeah,
So
that clocks.
yeah, so yeah. Never mind. I know why. I'm guilty. I am the problem. So yeah, it's I just it, but it's it, I mean it's a lot of work, but I think that the key thing is
For
just
sure.
doing it consciously, because it's not going to happen accidentally. It's not. Especially me. I'm neurodivergent. I have ADHD. So I'm just like, I have to be very purposeful with everything that I do. Otherwise, I will just not drink water for like 3 days straight.
Girl.
Never done that, but I'm exaggerating.
It
Exaggerating. But it feels
better
that way
be.
sometimes.
It better be that you're
No,
exaggerating.
I'm exaggerating, but it feels that way sometimes. Like sometimes my friends will ask me, like, hey, when was the last time you ate? And I'm just like, and they're like, that was too long of a pause for me to feel comfortable. Like, go eat right now. And I'm like, okay. So
Oh my gosh.
go and eat.
Oh. This is so fun, honestly. And
Yeah.
those are great answers. Those are really great answers. Okay. So this is really sad, but we're gonna be wrapping soon. But before we wrap, we're gonna have a small celebrate section for you. And you're gonna tell me a little bit more about yourself. Without further ado, are you ready? Shall we get into it?
Yes,
Okay.
let's do it.
So the first question I have for you is, who is your favorite fictional character and why? And you have to choose one. Just one.
All right, just one. All right,
Just
I'm really
one,
bad
just
at
one.
choosing favorites.
Just one.
Vi from Arcane.
Oh.
I love Vi. I just relate to her a lot. Like, I'm the eldest of three girls, so I have two little sisters, and the relationship, especially between like her and younger Jinx, I was like, this is me. This is me. And she's just really cool, you know. I did martial arts when I was younger. I did Taekwondo for like what, like 18 years. I did mixed martial arts and kickboxing and whatnot. So like seeing her fight and whatnot, I was like, yeah. So I just love her a lot. I'm a big fan of strong, like Merida, Astrid. They were my favorites when I was like a kid. You know, Toph was the big one in my teens. So I'm always gonna be a fan of, you know, women who can kick butt. So
Nice, nice,
yeah,
nice, nice.
I'm always a big fan of that.
Nice. Okay, next question. Who is your favorite creator slash artist slash writer and why?
Ooh, that. Dang, that's crazy. I will say I have a lot of respect and love for Jorge Gutierrez,
Oh, yes.
the creator of, you
Yes.
know, Mayan the Three, the Book of Life. I feel like as a kid, I saw his stuff and I was like, this is weird. I was just like, this is weird. And you know, because his art style is like crazy and
It's
kooky and
very
whatnot. It's
different.
like
It's very
it's
different.
very different. It's so different from like anything that I had seen on TV, you know, but you know, growing up in the Disney Renaissance era and whatnot. Like it was just very different. But especially as I got older, and especially when I started to understand the in and outs in animation, I got a lot of appreciation for him and how much he really just made something out of that very special style, which is very his and comes from, you know, a big love of his culture and really clinging on to those roots as much as possible and being very unapologetic about it. I think it's wonderful. And he breaks those like nice and neat character rules like all the time. Like, so I saw someone make a joke on Instagram, like Maya and the Three, more like Maya and the million character details. And I'm like, yeah, that's very, very accurate, because he just
Oh my
goes
gosh.
ham all the time. But it's
Yeah,
cool. It's really cool. And I'm always very appreciative of how like crazy his stuff is. No matter what. He also has a great sense of humor. I follow him on Instagram and sometimes he posts stuff that's
oh
just
yeah. Oh yeah, he has the
very
funniest
funny.
post.
So yeah, no, I have oh, that was the first person to come up. I was just like, yeah, I have a lot of respect for him and a lot of admiration for him as I am Latina. I'm Dominican. He's Mexican, so you know, not the exact same place. But I'm always gonna have a little like, hey, that's my people kind of love for that.
I get it, I
So
get it. Yeah. Okay. Our last question for you is, who are you digging right now that we should check out? Like, who are you gonna promote? Promote your friends, promote your favorite artists.
You know what? I am actually gonna take the time to promote my friend. I'm pretty sure this is not their like actual legal government name, but I know them as, because I know them by their Instagram name, you know,
Okay.
is my friend Phoebe, who their Instagram name is Magic Mooshka. So that's
Okay.
Magic Mooshka. We met and bonded over like Haikyuu, and it was cool and it was
I
cute.
see.
They've
I
actually
see
become
the.
a very feminist agent. I love it. You know, I mean, we
Okay.
might actually feel like, I think, like a mutual artist friend. So, but you know, we started chatting, and they're actually someone who's been like really cool to talk about, like, I don't know, everything with. Like, at first it was just anime, but then like we actually became like sort of kind of friends. And they have a webtoon. They have a webtoon
Oh.
on Webtoons Canvas, I believe. It's Archmage Ascending. So if you want to check that out too, I'm gonna give them a little promo shout out there. But yeah, no, Phoebe's awesome. They're really great. Their art is super cute. And I'm always a big fan of how they like interact with their community, like their followers, their friends. Like, it's very clear that they're like, I love the people I'm with, and they're great, and I love people, and I'm like, I love that. I love people too, you know? They're just a lot of fun. So I'm gonna give them a little promo.
Yeah, okay. Everybody should definitely check them out.
Definitely.
Okay. So, last but not least, where can we find you on social media? Like, share your social media, your website. Where can we find everything about you?
Everything. So you guys can find me on Instagram, Garnet Draws. So that's just my name, Garnet, and then draws, the word. It's simple. I'm simple. And you know, you can hit me up on LinkedIn. That's Garnet Garcia. I mean, I have a Twitter, but I don't really use it. It's also under Garnet Draws. And my website actually is also, you know, just www.garnetdraws.com. You can also look me up, just Garnet Garcia. It's gonna be one of those two things. But yeah, no,
Nice.
so yeah, but I am most active on Instagram. That's usually where I'm gonna post stuff. I'm on a little bit of a hiatus right now, but that's usually gonna be the first place where I post my stuff, Garnet Draws Instagram.
Fantastic.
Yes.
Yeah, and with that we have our it's a wrap.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you so much for your time again, and it's honestly such a pleasure talking to you after like what? How many years?
So many, I
So
mean,
long.
people, I mean, we've known each other for like what, like 2.5 years at this point? It's crazy
Yeah.
to think for like 3 years almost. So, you know, thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, for
It's
sure.
It was
Yeah, it
fun
was
to do this.
definitely fun. Okay, Garnet, you have a good day now, and
You have a good day.
take care. Take care.
Ink and Paint Folk is produced in partnership with Women in Animation, an organization dedicated to advancing women and non-binary folk in the field of animation and reaching 50-50 by the year 2025. Learn more at womeninanimation.org. This episode was produced by me, Cassie Soliday, and Kira Rodriguez with the magic of the internet from both Southern California and Singapore. Music by Dominique Parker. All opinions expressed here are our own and do not represent those of our respective employers. Until next time, this has been the Ink and Paint Folk podcast. Stay colorful.